This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You add in the HALT Act, which went into effect in 2022, which was a resource and a tool to remove sometimes dangerous people from the general population, as well as protect people who might work or help corrections officers. That was done away with. That was mischaracterized and demonized, and it was done away with as a measure of prison reform. And there's been a lot of prison reforms and criminal justice reforms, and none of them have made anybody safer. That's sort of the irony of a lot of these reforms when we talk about bail or discovery or HALT. None of them have made people safer. They were a political effort to demonize police officers in the case of bail and demonize corrections officers in the case of HALT. And that demonization continues. The narrative that the people who are in jail, the rapists, the murderers, the drug dealers, the robbers, that these folks are the victims and that the corrections officers are the bad guys or the perpetrators. It's an inversion that is, as one family member put it, is unnecessary. We can keep everybody safe. We can be fair to everybody, but we have to be realistic about the job that we ask our corrections officers to do and what we ask their families to endure. And that's what we heard here today. Again, I'm grateful the families took the time. They're from all over the state to come here. And as I said to one of them, I consider myself a proud supporter of corrections officers for my time in the Senate. Have supported and voted for bills that would have added additional time on to throw blood or feet at a voted against the HALT Act, like most of my colleagues who were here then, some of the our Republican colleagues who was here repeal the HALT Act. We're going to vote today to repeal the HALT Act. We're going to put it in as a hostile amendment. Senator Steck is going to lead that. Senator Helming is going to lead a hostile amendment dealing with contraband. But this is a huge issue, and it is a failure of policy, and it is a failure of leadership. That is why we're here. These corrections officers that are standing out in the cold for the past week, literally and figuratively, they're doing so with the knowledge that they're putting their careers, they're putting benefits, they're putting a lot of things at stake, and they're still out there. That should tell people how desperate and dangerous the situation is inside these prisons. That even with the threats from the governor, even with the threats of from the Taylor Law, even with all of that, with the foreknowledge of that, they are standing out there still, because that's how dangerous it is inside. And that's how committed the corrections officers are to make sure that something changes. I sat here and I told, and you're going to hear from Bernadette, who's, I guess, I've appointed her the leader of the group. I don't know if she's self-appointed, but I appointed her. So we had a whole ceremony, which some of you might have missed. But she does a great job speaking for this group of wives, spouses, daughters. Many of them actually are daughters. They're a second generation, if you would, CO families. But you know, talking to her, you just get a sense of the three-dimensional aspect. This is not just about the corrections officers. When you're talking about working doubles and triples, what do you think that does to the family? What do you think that does when they miss a birthday party, when they come home and they're smoked mentally, physically, and emotionally? How present are they in their family's lives? And that's a direct result of the bad policies and the failed leadership from docs to the governor to the state legislature. And they are desperate. They are looking for someone to have their back, for someone to say, yes, we hear you, and we're going to do something about this. Now, I say unabashedly that the people behind me, the conference that I represent, that I lead, has been with these families, whether we knew it or not, but we've been with their loved ones the entire time that I've been the leader of this conference, and I've been here in Albany. And I am proud to stand with our corrections officers. I happen to represent Albion and Orleans in my district, a female prison as well as a male prison. And I've been to both. I was in the shoe, as it was referred to, when there was a shoe. And I'll tell you this. I've been to Afghanistan. I've been to the southern border. I've been to Albany. And I was never more glad to leave the prison that day than any other place in my life, because that is a place that I couldn't do that job. I wouldn't want to do that job. But as I said to them, somebody needs to do it. We ask these people to do a dangerous, thankless job. And then we remove every resource and tool that allows them to do it safely. Because you know what? They want to go home to their family too. They deserve to go home to their families. Their families deserve them to come home to them. And so I just want to thank all the families who came here today to share their stories. I think sometimes the families get lost in these discussions when you're talking about dollars and budgets and, you know, positions and staffing and crimes and facilities, and you lose sight of the very human element that is represented by these moms, these wives, these daughters, these children who are here today. So at this time, I want to call up Bernadette to say a few words on behalf of these families.
Thank you so much, Senator Rourke. It's sad. We should not have to be here right now. We should not have to have come together in this way. I believe that the governor and the commissioner of the Department of Corrections should have enough respect for their officers that something like this does not need to happen. We are going to continue to hold the line. She can send threats about canceling health insurance. She can continue to send troopers out to serve officers. She did that yesterday, by the way, which is a Sunday. Cool flex. She can continue to gaslight all of us and deflect rather than address the failing system that they've created. We are not going to be bullied into submission. We're not going to give up this fight. We are going to continue to hold the line. We will talk to every senator. We will knock on every single door. It's not going to stop. Change needs to happen. Change needs to happen. The halt needs to be repealed or at least heavily modified so that it's mutually beneficial for both the safety of the officers and the incarcerated individuals. Officers do not want to treat people badly. They understand that the point of prison is for rehabilitation. That is not the choice that they have anymore. It's not. Thank you so much for being here.
Again, today, I want the members of the media to understand when we get on the Senate floor, we are going to put a full repeal of HALT on as a hostile amendment, as well as a contraband-related bill. There's a lot of issues. You know, HALT obviously is sort of the, I think as Bernadette referred to it in the meeting, that's the tip of the iceberg. That might be the most thing that people know or have heard about. But this is a, this has been a fire that there's a lot of logs that have been thrown on this fire. And any one of them by themselves you can look at, but it's the, it, to me, it's the confluence of things. And we've allowed our prisons, and you can look at the data. There's one point that's not debatable. What is not debatable is the number of violent incidents that have occurred inside prisons. That is not my opinion. That is a fact. That is a definable metric, as evidenced by this chart. I'm going to hire whoever that person was that had it. You can see the red line.
Is inmate on inmate, sorry. The blue line is inmate on officer, and the gray line is the amount of incarcerated individuals that are now in the prison system. And the assaults have increased drastically.
I mean, so this is not that, as I told the governor, that part is not debatable. Prisons have gotten more dangerous, and we should ask ourselves why. We should not be okay with that. Just because most of us don't have to go inside there doesn't mean we should be okay for the people who do. And by the way, the line also, as was mentioned, that's incarcerated individual on incarcerated individual. So we've made it less safe for the people who are in there, despite what the advocates will tell you. We've made it less safe for the corrections officers who we ask to go and perform a public service. And we've made it less safe, you know, for non-corrections officers who are in there performing critical functions in the facility. And as we close prisons, the governor put in her 30-day amendment. I'm sure it just got left out in the original budget. But she put in there 5 more prison closures. Not to be named, obviously, right? We don't know where. We just know that it's in there. Look it. They clearly don't get it. If they did, we wouldn't be here. But the truth is, the public at large needs to understand these people who are up here come from all walks of life, come from all parts of the state. They're only the one thing that's similar is they are married, or they were the daughter, or they're the wife of a corrections officer. They happen to have fallen in love or love a corrections officer, someone who wanted to do a job that I would tell you most people wouldn't want to do and couldn't do. And now the governor's asking Army National Guard soldiers, which I am a proud veteran of, who do not have the training to go into these places. And I really worry that this is going to make a dangerous situation even more dangerous. The governor needs to do whatever she needs to do to get these COs back to work, which is where they want to be. They want to do so in a safe way, and that's what these family members want, obviously.